This is a homebrew podcast.
Welcome to Power Word Fail, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition actual play podcast. My name is Carlos and I am the Dungeon Master for these wonderful group of heroes. But enough about me, let's meet the real stars of the pod, starting off with Austin.
Ferrick, finder of drugs.
Ian.
Ambrose Boussin, and I'll be okay.
Andy.
Pickles, the not really that sad and probably about to do a lot of drugs.
Nathan. Listen, okay, drugs are bad. Okay, kids, listen to the pod. Drugs are bad.
No.
Don't be doing drugs. Okay. Anyway. Nathan.
Miraz the twice mournful. First my sister and now this.
Katie.
Memory of Evangeline Abernathy and the possibility of whatever comes next.
And lastly, Tyrell.
Fuck! I wasn't paying attention.
And I am once again Carlos. This is Campaign 1, Chosen of the Crystal Crown. We are on episode 13, unlucky number. But anyway, let's dive right in. You all stand aghast as Ferrick has broken into this large crate filled with what you all can recognize as the ashes of crystal-born peoples. Various colors, red, blue, white, dark, green, line these jars, as you can make an assumption that maybe all these are filled, possibly. You're not sure. What do you do?
Pray that Pickles is too short to look over the lip of the crate.
Pickles is still, she's still staying in the hallway, so she does not know.
Miraz is hanging out with Pickles. Get curious.
I'll probably wander around and head towards Ferrick. You see anything?
No, there's nothing in here, and I'm going to shut the lid.
Good. I mean, when you're ready for the other door.
Ferrick's going to nub.
Wait, guys, what was in the room?
Just a bunch of old clothes.
You're lying.
No, I'm currently not wearing much, so that actually might be useful. I just took off all my
deception.
Armor.
Make a deception check, Ferrick.
None of it will fit you.
It's a 26.
Yeah.
26.
All too big.
Yeah, all right, all right. You know what, you're probably right. I'll just stay mostly unclothed, I guess.
Here, you can have this, and I'm gonna shred a little bit of my cloak off the bottom. Here.
Thanks.
There you go.
All right. We'll figure this out.
Okay. What do you do next?
Shall we check out the torture room?
Was there any food in that room?
No.
Why would there be food in a chamber like that?
What? It's storage stuff.
I toss Spunk one of my rations.
Oh, thanks.
I think torture room it is.
I want to check for traps on the middle door and try to unlock it.
Okay. Roll an investigation, please.
18.
You sense no traps on this door. It is locked, though.
And I'm going to try to unlock it. That's a 25.
With a resounding click, it opens. You are for sure know it opens.
Now that definitely worked. All right, you guys ready?
Right behind you, Ambrose.
Ferrick nods.
I slowly creep the door open.
As you slowly creep the door open, you are greeted with horrible sights of cages, things in those cages. You can probably guess what horrors have been committed in this room. It lines both walls, lines all the walls, as you see containers containing vile liquids. You see cages hanging from the rafters. You smell immediately the iron smell of what you presume to be blood. And on the far end of the room, you see what looks to be very similar to the egg sacs. But they're small. They're much smaller than the other ones. They're probably the size of a basketball. They're lined over most of the wall, and you see that when you look around, you see a large vat of oozing liquid, and that liquid seems to be running tubed into each individual egg sac.
Gross.
There is a staircase on the, what would be your north side of kind of going up on the sideways, hugging the wall. What would you like to do?
Walk into the room. Start walking by the cages.
I'm going to try to stop
dead.
Its funk.
This one's dead. Dead.
Does the vat of liquid is dripping into each cage, you said? Just to confirm.
It's dripping into each of the egg sacs that have lined the wall.
Oh, egg sacs. Okay. Is there anything like I can turn off that's dripping into it?
Make an investigation check.
Okay.
I'd like to
15.
Help with this.
Go for it.
Yeah, 15.
There are many knobs, many turns, many what looks to be like switches, almost. There's one rather large one, though. Surely it can't be that easy, you think, probably. But that's what you see.
You think anyone's alive in here?
This one's dead. This one's dead.
I don't know. I don't like the look of those egg sacs. Do you think those
are... I don't want to go in there.
Some of the same things that that we fought back in the tunnel?
Well, they are smaller, but I can't take the risk. But
they're not hatched yet. Ferrick, is this where immolation is appropriate?
Let's open one. For science!
Spunk, do you trust yourself enough to science in here?
Yes.
He's obviously lying.
A shiver passes through Ferrick's body. Burn them if you must.
But I know what's inside.
We know what's inside, Spunk.
But it would be littler.
I'm gonna make a small, like, psst. Is anyone alive in here? Hello?
You hear no response.
I'm alive in here. We're alive in here.
What are we whispering about?
Hello?
Guys, can you please stop?
Okay.
I'm gonna...
I think everyone's dead.
Okay.
I mean, we've been loud till up to this point. I don't think whispering
right,
is...
Right, I don't know
oh,
why.
Okay.
Suddenly
I thought we were like trying to be like meta-wise, we were being quiet, but okay. I didn't know you guys were just yelling straight into it.
Ferrick will kind of like gesture to Miraz that, you know, and explain that they are pretty depleted of magic for the day and that they can't burn these things, and asks if they can.
I will do so as long as you do think these are probably some of the same things we just fought, right?
But maybe not.
Oh, look. I'm going to creep towards an egg sack and pull out my short sword.
I'm going to have a firebolt ready in case anything attacks Ambrose.
You get hit, I'm not coming in.
Visually, that's just me holding my hand inside my sleeve. I don't have, like, a ball of fire above my fingers or anything like that.
I look back at the group, nod, and I stick my sword straight into this egg sack.
As you stick your sword in, you hear this of a squishing sound as your sword pierces through and you kind of shimmy it, opening up. Nothing really seems to happen. And then... And you hear this screeching, this hollering as a, looks like a bat-like creature flies out and about and starts flapping its wings, and it's screeching, it's hollering, it's an unnatural cry. And as this bat flutters, it falls and smack dab in the middle of the room, and the ooze from the sack oozes out.
Destroy them.
I think you're right, Spock.
I light him up.
Yeah. That was dumb. That'd be something better. You burn him.
Light him up. Several firebolts in a row. Just across the wall.
The room is filled with the screeching and the hollering. The screams. These creatures you cannot see fill the room. It's very loud. As the as flames start to trickle, kind of like ivy, kind of catch fire. And as soon the smoldering piles of burned whatever these things are, the scent is unnatural and gross. But soon your work is done.
Can I try to figure out what this like device that is this thing like dripping on purpose, or is it like is it dripping by design, or is it dripping by accident onto these egg sacs?
Yeah, go ahead and make a arcana check.
It's a 16.
You would know with a 16, very much this is a magical item. This is a magical piece of machine. It is not normal in the sense that it's magically delivering properties. Some sort of, whatever the substance is, the green ooze, the ooze in general, this machine is magically able to connect the egg sac with tubes and just splat and fill and is able to look like transport these. It's doing it on purpose.
And you said it could transport them?
Yeah, it's basically the, you sense and can feel magically that it's not like these aren't just tubes of like acid or tubes of ooze. This is some sort of magical device that is transporting whatever liquid is inside into the egg sac, and something is happening inside the egg sac that is magical.
I would like to I'd like to tie them tubes. Let's get these tubes tied.
Absolutely. It's not hard to reach the tubes, and they do feel very cold, like sub-zero temperature cold. So if you have no idea what that feels like, that's a new experience for you. Oh, but you're able to tie them after some time.
It is a dirty fix, but I think it will do, maybe.
The machine starts to churn as the liquid cannot go where it's supposed to go, and it is still on, so the machine is starting to rumble, just with the unable to release its intended effect.
And Ambrose didn't find anywhere to shut it off?
He found quite a large switch.
I'll move to that and try to turn it off.
If you do that, pull the lever down. It says, doom, as whatever was powering this machine turns off. And the room is silent, eerily silent for the first time.
Do you mind? So I know that I just criticized my dear friend Spunk here for doing science, but do you all mind if I try some science?
Yeah,
I'm always interested in some science.
Sounds good.
Blow it up.
I'm gonna take a little bit of the goop, and I'm gonna pour that a little bit of that clearish red liquid on it and see what happens.
As you do so, you are aghast to find that the goo, the ooze, is almost acting like a creature in liquid. It swirls, you can almost sense that it's trying to figure out what it's doing, and then eventually it realizes where it's at, realizes its environment, and just, almost like it veins, and it just becomes clear. It becomes clearly almost like a solid. It's like very much like if you've ever left like a rotisserie chicken out for a long time and the fat and stuff congeals, that's exactly what it's like.
Good visual.
It congeals the whole like potion?
Yes. The potion is unrecognizable. But the ooze is there. It very much looks like the ooze.
Well, I did something.
Poke it.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the tip of my rapier and like poke at it through the tip of the vial or tip of the potion.
As you do, you immediately feel as though you're stabbing into flesh, as though you're stabbing into very much a similar substance to what those creatures were, some sort of undead flesh, undead material. But it's almost like it's almost as close, very similar to the strongest decaying flesh you've ever felt.
This is something out the purview of Zorla. This is something else. Things that live are meant to die. Things are not meant to be born dead.
Can I see that?
That's what I was trying to say earlier.
You were right on the money, Spunk. And I hand the vial over to Ambrose.
Swish it around. Pick it up in the air and look at it.
It's pretty gross, right?
It's very much not swishing anymore. It's very much becoming more and more solidified and congealed.
It's like a mimicry. It's imitating necromancy.
I've seen this movie. Like, kill it! Kill it all! Burn it with fire!
Well, we have deactivated this for now. I say we keep moving until we understand what we're dealing with. I don't think anybody will be coming behind us to turn it back on. Whoever's turning these things on will be in front of us.
Except Pickles.
I ain't going in the room. She's still out in the hallway.
It's Pickles.
It's not so bad.
We've got to keep going this way.
Says who?
Says me.
We have to get the kid.
There was another sewer entrance?
There was.
There was.
We haven't reached the end of this one yet.
Yeah, but these stairs go up.
To avoid getting lost in a maze, you have to follow a trail all the way until it hits a dead end before backtracking.
Whereas, you know I don't like torture chambers.
I know. Would it help if you closed your eyes and I steered you through so you didn't have to see it?
Maybe.
Can we try that?
Oh, I have a better idea. And I, like, pull out a crappier version of the glasses that I wear that are, like, stained glass. But these are, like, you won't be able to see out of anything of these. These are, like, my prototypes. And I give it to Miraz.
Oh, interesting. Thank you. Pickles, if these would help. If it feels too much like being blindfolded in preparation for torture, I understand that. But if these would help, then here they are. We'll make it fast. We'll get you up the stairs. All right, we're going up the stairs, right, Spunk?
Yeah, going up the stairs.
Hey, glasses are cool.
We're not supposed to go down, right? The thing's above us. We're in the sewers, right? You go up.
Right.
Yeah, so we're going up.
Before you head up the stairs, the door swings open.
Kill it! Shoot it fast!
And as a door opens, you see... First thing you see is a large, a tall, black-haired woman. She is exquisitely beautiful, but her features are very angled. Her features are very precise, and she has very lifeless eyes. As you see her, she is adorned in leather armors, studded leather armors, black with cloak. You can hear rustling of armor on the other side of the door. And she says, "My, my, what do we have here? We have guests in the home, or rats in the nest. I am not sure which."
We are guests.
"Oh, what a handsome man you are. No, you are not guests."
Kill it.
If we are rats in the nest, then that implies that this is actually our home, right? Because that's what a nest is for rats. So I think you need to work on your analogies.
My, my.
This is not my home. I don't live here.
Such a lovely tongue on this one. It is so interesting. Interesting indeed. Now, what I will tell you and what you do next will very much determine the next moments of your life. You have a few options. One, you can come quietly with me, and I can put you in the jail, and you can await what happens to your fate. Two, you can die horrible, miserable deaths at the hands of these guards. And that is about it, actually.
Ferrick eyes Spunk in a very knowing way that, like, they are out of spells, they're out of tricks, they cannot make this fight. I would very much like a long rest. So, I guess the jail it is.
Ah, that's a smart one right over there. So handsome as well.
There is always the other trail that Pickles was talking about.
Yeah, can we just leave? We can just leave.
You can certainly try.
Can I listen to hear if, like, troops are heading towards her? Like, people in armor?
You heard the loud rustling of heavy armor behind.
Okay.
I would not suggest running. It would be bad for your health. And besides, you never know what could happen. Yes? Why are you so frightened? I don't bite.
Hey, dude, don't lie!
Last chance.
Question out of character. The door that we came through is still open, right? That didn't shut when she...
It is still open, yes.
Okay, so retreat is...
Yeah.
Should we fall back?
Excuse me, what is your name?
Oh, me? My name? I'm glad you asked, dear. My name is Scarlet. Scarlet I'll just keep it at that.
Scarlet.
Yes.
Can you just do me one favor? If you could. I know that we are intruding in, I'm assuming, your castle. May I just speak to my group?
Not my castle, dear.
So we are in a castle.
Well, it is somewhat of a home, yes? The one of the Lord Zeos.
May I talk to my friends? Just for a bit.
No. Why should I let you?
You can
stay
here.
Don't you want to meet the Lord? No. This is not the time for... You must decide what you'll do, yes?
Fall back, regroup.
I'm going to count to three, and without sounding like Count Dracula from Sesame Street.
Just, well, you're gonna. You're
three.
Gonna.
One.
I'm going with the large lady.
We gotta go.
I don't think that we're walking away from that one, Ferrick. I think that that's suicide. I say we retreat and regroup.
I agree with Ferrick. I don't think we're walking away from this one. I have a feeling she's a lot faster than we are right now.
Oh, yeah.
I bet she eats Ambrose first.
I mean, I've been nicer to everyone, so...
I am not going to eat anyone, you silly grung.
She gonna eat Ambrose first for sure.
First person we run into that doesn't call you a frog. How polite!
I do not understand. He is clearly not a frog. He is a grung.
Exactly.
I used to that. What? It makes me even more distrustful.
I'm going to count to three, and we must make a decision. I'm sorry to interrupt.
We should go.
So, here we go. Three, two...
Miraz is moving back toward the door to get out of there. Back toward the sewer. Away from her.
Ferrick's heading towards the big lady.
Pickles is actually not going with Miraz. Stays with Ferrick.
You stick with Ferrick?
I don't move.
Ambrose, where do you go?
I honestly have no idea. Fuck.
With a whip, a natural speed, and almost like a cool wind blows when this woman does so. Scarlet blocks the entrance. Miraz. She smiles. No. You were thinking of leaving. Oh, dear. It is too late for that. No, you must stay. Join me for dinner. Meet Lord Zeos. There might be something in it for you.
So that's how this is?
Yes.
Rose, you're the dinner!
You called this place the Nest of Rats. Do you want me to tell Zeos that you referred to him that way?
Ooh.
You can tell Zeos whatever you wish. The lion does not concern itself with the riffraff. Yeah? Or is that just because you wear a fake beard?
Hey man, no need to throw insults. Come on, Miraz, let's go. I hope you choke when you eat us. Let's go, come on.
We get a hairball from this fake beard.
Very good. Now single file up the stairs, please. And my men will show you to your accommodations, yes? She just stretches out an arm.
I wrap my arm around hers. You lead the way.
Such
wow,
a
man.
Gentleman. She takes your arm and she leads you.
Ferret, come on, dude.
So tell me your name, stranger. Curious. Curious indeed.
My name is Ferric of the Kiln.
Ferric of the Kiln. Such a good name. Strong name. Dashing, even. Come, we must go. And then she'll not really leave you much choice in the sense of the guards have entered the room, and you all are escorted down a hallway and then down another hallway until you reach a very similar room to the one you found yourself in the start. But this time there are guards. There are three jail cells in this torch-lit holding cell room. You are in the middle. You're led in, no shackles, and she closes the door after releasing your hand. Ferrick, and she places a hand on the bar cell. Now, I understand you must be some powerful magic users. I will warn you that these bars are resistant to such trifles. Yes?
How so? Like, what are the material components and stuff? Tell me about it.
Oh, my friend, I don't kiss and tell. Don't worry, your meeting will be soon enough. But besides, you have company in here, I believe. And he's told us everything so far.
Alright, let's kill him.
Oh my god, Christopher.
I'm gonna kill him.
Oh, you know him. Of course you do. He told us about you. Christopher! You just hear this. Yeah? What's up? What's going on? Christopher, darling, you have guests. You have new friends to make, but I'm afraid you're already acquainted. Christopher Group? Group Christopher. Christopher kind of goes to the bars. He looks at all of you, kind of sticks his head out. Mr. Spunk? Evangeline? Ambrose? Is that you?
Hey, Christopher.
Who else would it be?
What are you doing in here? How did you get in here? Why are you here? You're supposed to leave. Go away.
What?
Take a moment. Who do you not see?
It's hard kind of at the angle. I can't really see anything. But Evangeline? Is Evangeline there?
Please, Varric.
No, he needs to hear this.
Don't talk to her right now.
I feel as though I am interrupting a moment. I will leave you for a time. I shall return. Hopefully you have good conversation. Yes.
Bye.
Ta-da. She leaves the room. Guards posted.
How many guards?
There are 3 guards, all sitting around a table.
What's our lighting situation?
It's lit in here. There's torches.
Okay. So, how heavily armed and armored are the guards?
They are pretty heavily armed. They are in chainmail, swords, fine swords, and they look tough. They look pretty tough.
And are we all in one cell as we were at the beginning, or are we split up in different cells?
Correct. You are in the same cell.
Okay.
But, where's Evangeline? She's not there. What, did she leave, or did she stay outside?
She's a pile of necrotic dust now, man.
Spunk.
What? What do you mean?
Evangeline's dead.
Yeah, you could say we're even for killing her dad.
Can you guys... Evangeline would not want this. Just stop. Evangeline's gone. And I just, like, sit on the ground immediately.
She's dead?
Yep.
What do you mean she's dead?
I mean, it doesn't get... I mean, pretty simple.
What do you mean? What do you mean she's dead? What, you think sending those gods to check in on us was cute, don't you?
What are you talking about?
Hold on. We need to keep a level head.
I didn't send guards after you.
Do you think I came with the big lady because I wanted to? We need to be tactful. We need to get ourselves out of a situation here. And we're not going to do that by pointing fingers.
Or by talking in front of the guards.
Spunk's fingers pointing at Christopher.
Can we take a nap? Like, what are we gonna do?
We need to rest. You all... start resting. If I am the only level-headed one that will talk to Christopher, I will do that.
Tell him it's all his fault, so he feels super bad about it.
I'm just gonna throw a rock at him, so...
I don't understand why you're so angry at me. I literally haven't done anything, like, at all.
Hold. If everybody... Do I have permission to handle this?
Yeah, I'm going to sleep.
This time.
Okay.
I'm probably not gonna be able to sleep. Much at all.
As everyone settles down and I see Ambrose like sitting and struggling for obvious reasons, Spunk will just walk up.
Say, hey man, it's been a pretty long day.
Yeah.
I can make it easier, you know, for the nightmares and stuff.
Yeah, please.
Okay, man. Just hold still a second.
And he'll, kind of like a warm glow, not as harsh or radiant as it was in combat, will kind of come off of Spunk, and, the feelings and emotions and the sorrow will kind of just wash away to not like feeling good or better, but just mm-hmm. a gray numbness will wash over Ambrose.
That really does help. Thank you.
It sometimes makes it harder the next day because it, like, catches up. But, at least you'll sleep.
Frankly, I don't think it'll ever be easier.
I think Spunk will just kind of, deadpan at that, and he'll kind of stand up to walk away, and he just kind of almost says to himself, but you would hear it.
You'd be surprised.
while in my cell, I'm going to be kind of playing with, while everyone else is kind of asleep before I pass out, I'm going to be playing with Evangeline's necklace and see if I could cast prestidigitation through it. And just kind of trying to create the smell of, like, her scent just a little bit.
That's so sad. You hold on to the necklace for a while, staring at it and trying to get a sense of the sense that you, the friend you have, no longer have. The memory of first meeting, the memory of setting out together, the memories of every laugh, every fight, every tear, every time you faced enemies together. And you finally come back to the memory of the wicked moon the morning you woke up, where she said, "You do know I love you." And with that memory, something seems to unlock and you are able to do as you want to do. The familiar scent of Evangeline, only close enough where you can sense it. So you're able to do that.
Okay. And then throughout the kind of the night, I'm just going to be playing with it, kind of studying it, just keep on casting like a simple cantrip or whatnot through it, of that prestidigitation.
Okay. Real quick, before we get into any more, if there's any more talk, you all may take a long rest.
Sweet.
Unless you're going to only take a short rest, but presumably you're going to be here for a while.
And I do want to be kind of chatting with Christopher about what's going on.
Christopher, you can't, he kind of has his arms against the cell and you can't really see all of his body. You can kind of see half his head and he just hangs his head and looks at the ground and kind of makes the odd turn and says, "So, she's gone? Really?
Yes.
What happened?
Do you want the short or the long version?"
"Neither, but I guess I'll take the long version."
"Our dear Evangeline believed that upon meeting Zeos, there was some sort of thrall over you. Now, before you get into it, you may or may not be aware of said thrall, a type of draw towards Zeos. Something that is used as a predatory calling. It's a type of emotional camouflage to draw you closer in order to feed from you. Or perhaps turn you into a vampire and then you serve under him, much like our dear friend Scarlet. And it was devised that we would come in here and check up on you and, if need be, rescue you from such a terrible fate. That is when we ran into some creatures that are being made here. Some sort of dark magics making things that were never living dead to begin with. It's complicated. She did not stand a chance, and she was disintegrated, cast to dust.
I don't really know what to say. I guess, you know, I just another person dead, you know? I guess it's my fault, right?
Some would make you believe that, and I just kind of gesture to the sleeping Miraz. But we did this of our own volition. And you, on the other hand, if you are underneath this thrall, this emotional control, then you did not do such under your own volition. That being said, if you hate us, I totally understand.
I don't hate you. I hate Zeos. When I met him, I didn't feel controlled. I felt angry. You know, I felt like I wanted to kill him. And I tried to sneak in here and do that, but I got caught and I got thrown in here. The guard was gonna kill me, but that lady, what was her name? Scarlet. She told the guard that it'd be more fun to see what games we could play. It was very off-putting, kind of, but I've just been here since then.
Between you and me, and Ferrick's gonna lean in, did you tell anyone about the fight outside with those people?
I didn't tell anyone
when I came in the city, they asked me if I had heard of anything strange or some ruckus, and I said, yeah, there was ruckus outside, but that was it. I didn't say who was fighting or what, and the lady, well, she didn't hurt me, but she's kind of convinced me to talk about what I've been doing, what I know about Farrington, but that's it. I didn't say that was you fighting. I may be weak, but I'm not a betrayer. I'm not like that. Yeah, I got really angry, and I'm sorry about that, but I guess I'm
you
just...
don't need to apologize for your feelings, boy. We all feel it happens. You let it move through you, and then you come out the other side. There is no shame in feeling the ways that you have felt.
Mr. Farrick, I don't mean to be... I guess I don't mean to be rude, but when you're someone like me, someone who people make fun of, laugh at, think they can't do anything, assume the worst immediately, emotions are just a luxury I don't get to have. They're not mine. You know? They just kind of... People think they're better than you. They think they can tell you how to feel. And I don't know. I'm saying stupid things right now. But
that's self-diminishing. Those are the words of the people who are making fun of you. Don't let them be your words.
Okay.
You know, when Ambrose started to teach you how to fight, he was trying to teach you how to stand next to your convictions. When I bought you that spell book, I was trying to open up the opportunities to grow your skills that you have shown. They are small talents, but small talents grow, and it is by moving through these things as a community that we are able to flourish. We have not gotten to the points that we are if it had not been for a community, had it not been for the people who fed us when we were hungry and clothed us when we were cold. I know we are not the best at expressing these things, but we tried, and I'm sorry that we failed.
Mr. Farrick?
Yes?
I'm really sorry about Evangeline.
These massive hands are gonna reach out from the bars and curl around Christopher's body and pull them closely. I'm sorry too, Christopher.
Mr. Farrick,
yes.
I couldn't save my dad, and I couldn't do anything about Evangeline. I don't know. I don't want anything to happen to you either. Or...
I'm going to hurt you now, Christopher, with my words. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
More people will die. I will die. You will die. Spunk will die. We will all die. And that's okay. That is our destiny, our only true destiny. From the moment we were born, we will die. And when you wake up every morning knowing that, you start to make the right decisions. It's okay.
Okay.
Breathe, look forward, and know that when you wake up, we will figure this out, or we might die. Either way, our journey will be over, and the next one will begin.
Okay.
Now, what have you been able to see about our situation? Any little nooks or crannies you have been shown by our dear friend Scarlet?
Kind of wipes his face, tears. Yeah. Well, it's kind of strange. All I know is that Scarlet Lady is super important. Like, top three in Zaos is, like, circle important. Like, all the guards listen to her, and she doesn't take really orders from anyone except for Zaos, it seems. And, you know, it just seems like she's kind of off. It's like she's not even in her own skin, right? It's like there's something inside her that, like, I don't know. It just seems kind of off. And... I don't know, there hasn't really been anyone else here, and I've overheard some other things about Zaos, but just doesn't seem real, I guess.
One of the things that doesn't seem real.
Well, if I sit and I, like, listen really hard, I can somewhat hear, like, or sense things sometimes,
And sometimes I sense that Zaius is here, but he's like not here. Like, I'm trying to like, I guess, Mr. Ferrick, I'm trying to, it's like he's decaying. It's like he's, like his innards aren't away, but his body's there.
Ferrick nods. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We will have a very difficult morning ahead of us, Christopher. I suggest you get some sleep for now.
Okay. Mr. Ferrick?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And he'll kind of go to the corner and he'll just rest his head. And while you fall asleep, you just hear the soft sobs of a young man, confused. And unless anyone does anything in the middle of the night, time passes.
One note I'd like to add. Miraz obviously is in grief and in a lot of anger and pain, and so sleep did not come easily to him. He rolled over with his back to Christopher, but as Ferrick and Christopher were talking, Miraz was still awake and just like silently trying to wipe tears from his eyes as Ferrick, or as Christopher opens up his heart, and as Ferrick does his beautiful eulogy, more people will die. We will all die, and that's okay. Miraz is just completely silent, but waterworks are in full force.
As hours seem past, either 10 minutes or either 10 hours, you're not sure. Time somewhat loses yourself until you can tell from the bowl of gruel laid out in front of you, in front of the cells, that it is either morning or some time where food is given. But you've rested a full 8 hours. You all wake up. What happens?
Scarfing some gruel down.
You don't have any of your weapons. They took those from you.
Did they take our clothes? Did they pat us down? How thorough were they?
The guards seemed to want to do it thoroughly, but whether just hubris or just wasn't worried about it at all, the Lady Scarlet just kind of stopped them from doing anything further than just taking your weapons. She kind of gave an air of confidence that she wasn't afraid.
Along with my bowl of gruel, I would turn to Pickles and I would say, can we talk for a second, Pickles?
Yeah, what's up?
And I'll kind of pull her into the corner away from the other people as well as I can, and I'll say, last night I was thinking, we lost one of our own. Death can come to any of us. I can't keep pretending with you, Pickles. You're my oldest friend. We've only been traveling together a few months, and even so, I'll glance over, like, over Pickle's head at the other people, and then I'll lean in and I'll whisper, I don't know how to do any magic. I'm not a wizard.
She just, like, sits in silence, and she's got this look that's somewhere between, like, what the fuck, and is now the time.
Then it all just kind of comes spilling out. All my siblings went on to achieve great things. I feel like I had to do something. I just want to be remembered. I just want to be known. And if something happens and I wasn't honest with you, I could never forgive myself. And I'm sorry. And I wanted to just adventure together. And it was all going to be grand and lighthearted. And now we're in the dungeon of this castle. And I just needed you to know
that you can't do magic.
No.
But I can do magic. With runes. But I can do magic. Yeah, so I know more magic runes than you.
Yes, you do. I have a good understanding of it, but I don't know. Even Christopher can make his dingleberries.
Is that why you hate him so much?
No, that's not why. No.
I mean, that's not really a skill to be envious of.
No. Like, It comes naturally to so many people. I haven't been able to figure out why I can't, but I can't.
You know, we'll get there. I appreciate this outburst of honesty, and not really the greatest place for it. I'm pretty sure everybody can hear you. You're really not that good at hiding things. But thank you.
As she's saying that, I'm putting my fake beard on. Like, what are you talking about?
You should take it off.
Spunk standing directly behind you, just listening to the whole conversation.
Just his eyes are like unblinking over my shoulder.
Yep.
He's like licking his own eyes.
Yeah, he's looking at his eyeball.
You know, you can do great things without doing magic. You know, and you know, I said we weren't really friends, but we've always been friends. I just had to be mad about it because, you know, you were a little bit of a dick. All right.
I was, and I have been, and I'm sorry.
But, you know, like, I haven't been most honest with you. We're not getting into that right now because just, like, looks at Spunk over his shoulder.
Then I look at and I realize that Spunk is there. I'm like, oh, no.
He blinks one eye at a time.
But, like, we'll talk about this when we aren't in a dungeon, when someone didn't just die, and when we aren't probably about to be eaten. I don't know when the best time is, but we'll get there. Thank you.
Thank you, Pickles, for saying that we're actually friends, and for being my friend. And I don't know, I just wonder if I had known magic, if there was something I could have done for her, for either of them.
There was nothing you could do that would have changed what happened. It happened. You gotta accept it. Nothing you could have done. Nothing I could have done.
I'm still not convinced, but it is the past now. Let's focus on getting out of here.
Will you consider taking off the beard?
My hand hovers next to it. I put my hand down, like, fine, and I rip it off. Fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
I won't put on my fake wrinkles either.
Wait, those are fake too?
I'd, all right, like, smear the dirt off. I'm literally, like, 18 years old. I'm not, you know, mid-40s, late-40s wizard.
You're like my age. What the f- All right. Death. Sadness. Let's deal with this right now. We'll come back.
Let's get out of here.
Like, I can't leave. I'm stuck in a cell with you.
Morning, guys. Pickles, can I have my glasses back?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Can I have my crossbow back? Oh, no, I can't, because they took it from you.
Oh, sorry.
I'll eventually get it back. And she'll hand you your glasses.
Thanks. So what's the plan? And I whispered that to everyone.
I can't knock us out of here. I mean, I could try.
Don't.
I mean, she said... I don't believe that she was lying. I think that either Ambrose or I should try to pick the locks. If, as long as they didn't take one of our lock-picking sets, then should be able to do that.
I'm also pretty good at picking locks.
Well, what is this, like, sea prism stone? How can the bars be resistant to stuff?
I do not know.
How many guards are in here, like, in the morning?
Is anybody good at Arcana? Can somebody check the fucking bars?
Yeah.
I can certainly do that.
Because I'm not.
Well, go ahead and check those bars.
I'll give you guidance. Never mind. I mean, I'm helping. No. Yeah, it's a fucking natural one.
That's a nat one.
As you're trying to figure out how these bars work, there's currently two guards in the room. The door swings open as the Lady Scarlet enters in, dressed in very similar attire as it was yesterday.
Man, I thought I told you not to come back.
My.
Spunk, shut up.
Such a rude little grum.
Man, they could have sent someone different.
Someone will have to teach you a lesson. But she turns to the men. One of you can stay. The other one can go. There is fresh ale in the dining hall. A sort of reward, Zeo says, for a job well done in capturing the prisoners. Go on, you. He kind of salutes and says, yes, my lady. And he'll walk up and shut the door on the stairs, and the guard kind of comes up to Scarlet and says,
hey, these lot have just been talking and boo-hooing all day. Bunch of right little babies they are. Boo-hoo-hoo. Just crying about people dead and all that.
Comes up to the guard, the kind of the posts and the cell, just,
yes, right. You just gonna cry all day? All day long. Boo-hoo, my dad's dead. Boo-hoo, I can't do magic. Boo-hoo-hoo. You fucking losers.
Your dad is dead?
Your death will not be quick.
I cast Vicious Mockery on him.
Sure. Hold on a second. He just kind of sits there, takes it, and goes,
boo-hoo-hoo, you trying to cast magic at me, eh? That's fine. That's fine, because you're a baby.
I just start roasting his outfit. I roast his outfit. I am just like, "You're crusty ass Greaves. What do you do? Walk through shit on your way to kiss your mother?"
No, but I was on my way to see yours. He just laughs out loud. And as he does so, Miss Scarlet walks up behind him, takes hand, knife, slits throat of the man.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank you.
He crumples to the ground, and Miss Scarlet, she starts to change. And this is where Katie...
Wait, she's changing?
Katie, please describe your character.
Yes!
So, you see Miss Scarlet's visage kind of crumble away. And underneath, you see a humanesque woman. You know, 5'6", 5'7". Certainly not as big as Lady Scarlet. And she looks human, except that she has very vivid pink-purple skin, golden eyes, and really fiery orange, red, yellow, curly hair. It's very messy and has a few, like, braids put into it. She looks almost malnourished. She's very wiry and is wearing, like, patched, worn-out linen tunic. Just very practical breeches and boots. She has a locket around her neck, kind of dinged up. A single earring hanging from one ear that has a orange, red, yellow crystal hanging from it. All of her visible skin below the neck, so her chest and all of her arms, have what look like geometric tattoos on the first glance. But rather than inked into her skin, they're kind of etched and they catch the light. And she looks at all of you in the cell and she says, "Well, this may be the most thoroughly anyone has ever fucked up my plans. Well done."
Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah, dude, we need a job.
Can you let us know, please?
I can. And she'll pull out the keys and start unlocking the cell doors.
Nice.
The way I see it, you can either remain here and die horribly on the morrow, or you can come with me.
I'm going with you. Like
to do.
Okay.
I'm inclined to go with you. Oh, what's your name?
That's a good idea. I told you they were going to eat us.
Idalia. And yours?
I glance at Pickles, and then I glance back at you. Miraz the Magnificent, Wizard Extraordinaire.
I see.
I'm a
I thought he said... Never mind.
Ferrick. And this is my companion, Spunk. Say hi, Spunk.
I'm Spunk.
He's Spunk. This is Christopher.
Christopher and I are old friends. And she'll unlock Christopher's as well.
Oh, so you're not like a big scary evil lady?
Not at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Shall we go?
You ever consider being a hero?
There are no such things as heroes, Mr. Spunk.
Well, that's just a lie.
Were you also the giant lady who caught us in the basement, or have you since then taken the visage of the giant lady?
Unfortunately, I was accompanied at the time.
Oh, she's like deep cover.
If you could keep your voice down.
I have volume control issues because of my froggy voice box.
Of course.
Well, you should be quiet, Spunk, and just like close your mouth.
Okay.
Thank you.
Shall we go?
Do you have any idea where our equipment is?
Yes, but we must be quick and quiet.
A very affirmative nod.
I loot the dead guard's pockets.
Okay, make an investigation check.
This is what you get for talking shit, stupid idiot. 17.
17, you are able to find 3 gold pieces, a dagger, a book, like a small etched notebook. Seems to have jokes inside, and that's about it.
Couldn't even come up with no jokes. He got them out of his book.
Come along, then.
I pocket the 3 gold pieces and move along.
I mean, I guess this is the best choice.
Time is of the essence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
I'm on you.
Lead the way.
And I will lead them out through the tunnels the way we came, or the way they came. I wasn't there.
Sure. Well, you would know the direction of the tunnels, and everyone make stealth checks, though, please.
Before you
Unless
do that...
Unless you're just like Jason Bourne-ing it, running through.
26.
Adalia is going to pause in the hallway and take a deep breath, and all of these beveled tattoos in her skin are going to glow with this brown, dark purple, almost black energy, and she will cast Pass Without a Trace. So everyone has a plus 10 to their stealth.
36.
Nice.
I got rid of the heavy armor.
22.
I still rolled a 6.
17.
At 16.
Even with a plus 10.
Nice.
And she'll lead them to wherever their equipment has been stored so that everyone can get that back.
Yeah, it wasn't very far. It was in a locked room, which you had the key, and you open the room door, and there's no one inside. It's just basically lost and found, confiscated items, and nothing really. I mean, you of course can check, but you do find the equipment rather easily, obviously, and then you hand out the equipment to everyone, or they take it, because you don't really know. Never mind.
Nice.
Shall we go?
Yes. Yes, we'll do now.
Back through the sewers. There is a place I can take you that is safe.
Alright, yeah, Ferrix, just follow him.
I'm riding on Ferrix's shoulder.
Follow.
You, with the seemingly unnatural ability, you all make your way safely and stealthily as the guards are scant and not around, thanks to the distraction. You make your way to the familiar torture chamber. It has been cleaned up. The machine has been fixed, and it seems as though new things are growing. Do you do anything, or do you press on?
Adalia, do you know what this is?
Yes. And she'll turn around, and orange-red light will flow through her tattoos, and she's gonna fireball all of the stuff that's growing.
Okay. And with a flash, the stuff that has begun to grow is singed, destroyed, and falls to the ground. And even the tube at the end starts to burn. Whatever magic cast was strong and powerful.
Come along, then. There's work to do.
I like her. She's cool. And I start, like, booking it.
Are you sure you never thought about getting the hero biz?
I have no time. And she'll lead everybody out through whatever secret passageways she knows.
Okay. The secret pass, your secret area, is that inside the sewers or is it outside the city?
I think it's inside the sewers.
Okay. You make your way to the sewers, avoiding areas that you know are dangerous. Taking one of the paths you did not take, you're able to secretly, Adalia, take your friends to your secret room, your secret area, where you are able to stash equipment. And next time, we will unlock a new mystery and a new friend on the next episode. Well, new things, new people, and a great episode. Listener, thanks so much for being here. If you liked what you hear, go ahead, give us a listen, share, leave us a review. That helps us out a lot, and we appreciate you. This is the place where we just love just telling great stories. We want you to join us. So hop on. There's places like the Discord you can hit up. We're active there. You can say all the cool things about all the cool roleplay and cool character introductions. Whatever you want to say. It's a place to talk. But lastly, listener, you are loved, you're important, and you matter. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.